It's time for truth. Now. Defending the rights of every Kansan. The voice of reason with Andy Hoosier.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Voice of Reason right here on the Big Talker 1480 KQAM. 6 minutes past the hour, 41 degrees here in Wichita, Kansas. Happy Thursday to you. We're almost there, my friends. We're so close to the weekend, you can almost taste it. We haven't done this in a couple of days, and I believe that we've let them sleep in just long enough. It is the middle of the day. Time to wake up, and let's do something productive for all of you on the good old social programs. Let's do something today, shall we? Let's make it a good day. I know tonight we have another Republican debate. You'll be able to hear that right here on 1480 KQAM, right directly after the K-State show tonight for K-State basketball. But we got a lot to cover today. A lot of things to talk about as things are happening very, very quickly with Super Tuesday coming up in less than a week, with the Kansas caucus coming up in just over a week. And you and I have the opportunity to finally make our voice heard and actually be able to make something happen, make something change. But as you know, we've talked for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the tensions, whether it's the tensions with the cops and the police brutality and all the horrible police brutality, or the issue with up in Oregon, the standoff with the Bundy issue. And to talk to us a little bit more about that, to give us kind of the inside scoop and to see what we get to look forward to with this case going forward, the president of the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, Mr. David Jenkins, is on the phone with us today. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. Just fine.
Hey, appreciate you coming on the show today. So first off, for those of us who may not have followed this topic for a while, or who may not have really, you know, followed it very closely when it was happening, what happened up in Oregon with the standoff with Cliven Bundy and his farmers and his ranchers, and the standoff that he had with the federal government?
Well, in Oregon, it actually wasn't Cliven. He's the father. It was his two sons, Ammon and Ryan. And they led a handful of folks and decided they were going to take over a wildlife refuge. This is a wildlife refuge that was originally designated by Theodore Roosevelt. So it's one of our original wildlife refuges. And they took over it and were demanding that some folks who were arrested for arson be released, and also demanding that the federal government just, you know, turn over the wildlife refuge, give it away from all Americans, and just let the folks there run it and do what they want to. That standoff lasted 41 days, and, you know, the FBI finally put an end to it, and so all those guys are in jail and facing court situations. And then on top of that, the father, Cliven Bundy, when he went to Oregon to see his sons in jail, he got arrested at the airport, and he's being charged with the 2014 Bunkerville standoff, where he rallied a bunch of folks who pointed, you know, automatic and high-powered rifles at law enforcement officers and drove the government away when they were trying to deal with Bundy's trespass situation, where he's grazing his cattle illegally on public lands.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, this is these are renegades. I love how the Democrats and progressives like to clump this in as this is right-wing extremism. This is the riled up, angry white man trying to fend off the government kind of thing. It had nothing to do with conservative principles here, because of the fact that this was already domained as government and public land and public property, not privately owned property for him to use as he deemed necessary. And, you know, we have laws set in place for a specific reason, and the fact that he wants to ignore them and use them as he will, there's no trace of conservatism in this mess, is there?
Not at all. Bundy has this, Cliven Bundy, the father, he's concocted this this crazy idea that the United States government doesn't even exist, and that he only has to worry about the state of Nevada's laws. Of course, if the state of Nevada was cracking down on what he was doing, I'm sure he would declare that they didn't exist either. But, you know, this is all self-serving. He basically wants to do what he wants to do and doesn't want to listen to anyone. And, you know, he's a bully, and essentially because he's so involved in rallying these other people to his cause, I mean, he's essentially a crime boss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he really is, and it's from the other side. You usually don't hear it from a rancher or a farmer. And I know that the ranchers and farmers have tough times sometimes arguing with the federal government on land, on what they can use, what they can't use. Sometimes it's allotted to them. Sometimes they have to pay for it, whatever the case is. But, you're right. And I understand the issue with protecting the Tenth Amendment, protecting states' rights, and having the state government being powerful more so, in our opinion, than the federal government. But you're right. If it was the other case around and it was the state coming after him, then he would say that it would be the county or the community issue, and he would completely ignore the state as well, just because he is kind of a rogue renegade.
Yeah, he's a bully. I mean, basically, it's a bully. And one of the things that we've been beating the drum about for the last year is that, you know, for that 2014 incident where, you know, I mean, you had people pointing rifles, intending to shoot, you know, law enforcement officers and civil servants. You know, we went for 2 years without the Obama administration doing anything. I mean, they basically backed off and left him alone. And you know, with any bully, if you if it looks like they won and they've backed you down, then that only emboldens them to be bigger bullies. And that's what we saw, and that's what I think is one of the reasons we ended up with the wildlife refuge takeover, is that these guys had felt that they could act with impunity for so long, they just kicked it up a notch.
Well, and I think the idea that they have this impunity and that they feel that they can do whatever they want regardless of the federal government is the norm, and I'd like your take on this too, is just the norm of society nowadays, where we feel like we have the right to question the rule of law. We get to question police authority, we get to question the authority of the government, to question the authority of just local law enforcement and everybody, which is leading to a lot of issues, which is why you see the shootings of police officers in the claim of police brutality. You get to say that they're racist, you get to say that all these issues are going on, and that you have the right of free reign to do whatever you deem necessary instead of still abiding by the rule of law.
Yeah, it seems like we're sliding toward anarchy here. Yeah, you can compare those two situations completely. I mean, whether it's people who want to ignore the laws from a libertarian standpoint and want to legalize things that are not just because that's what they want to do, or on the left, you know, you see the like you said, the protest against the police and trying to label things that are perfectly right for law enforcement to do, try to make them out to be something hostile and something unfair and something they're not. And that's what the Bundys have been doing, you know, in a different type of situation. But, you know, if you talk about conservatism, and that's what we're about, conservatism is always about balancing freedom and responsibility. They go hand in hand. You don't get freedom and liberty without exercising responsibility on the other end. And what these people want is they want liberty with no responsibility. And that's not conservative.
Yeah, they want anarchy. It's not, yeah, exactly. It's not conservatism. It's complete anarchy. So what do we get to look forward to? By the way, we're speaking with the president of the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, David Jenkins. And David, what do we get to see from this, from now on? It's going to go to court. They're going to have to appear in court. What do we expect to see with this case moving forward?
Yeah, you're going to see all of them end up in various courts. Some of them will be tried in Oregon because their offenses are exclusively related to that wildlife refuge takeover. You'll see others that will be tried in Nevada, and they will be charged with both the wildlife refuge takeover and the incidents related to the 2014 thing. Also, you've got Cliven Bundy with his, he owes over $1 million in unpaid fees and fines, and he's ignored court orders for 20 years. So he's going to have a lot of other charges piling up on him. And then at some point, you know, he's still got all these illegal cattle grazing all over the place in the West. I mean, some of his cattle are grazing, you know, 40, 50 miles away from his ranch because he just lets them loose and doesn't do anything to them until he decides he wants to round them up. So you know, the government's going to have to somehow come in there and deal with those cattle and you know, get that trespass situation resolved, so that that land, you know, belongs to everyone. And also, you know, what he's doing is encroaching upon the rights of other ranchers who abide by the law and pay the fees, which are really below market fees. I mean, you can, the grazing fee for on federal land is like $1.35 a head a month, where state and private land is a heck of a lot more. So, you know, hopefully they'll resolve that situation and we won't have any more militants coming up and trying to challenge the government's authority to do that.
I sure hope so, and hopefully that I heard the stories now on the other side of the coin as well. I heard that some of the cattle that the government has taken over from Bundy, they haven't treated the best, and I don't know what would happen with these. Do they sell them off? Do they hand them off to the next rancher next door? Do they just keep them and do what they will with them? I mean, what happens with the cattle? Just out of curiosity.
I would assume they'd be auctioned off, or if the Bundy estate somehow paid the fines or something, then maybe they could be returned, but you know, right now that doesn't look likely. So my guess is that they would be confiscated, and like any confiscation, they would eventually be auctioned off to people who would hopefully take better care of their cattle.
I sure hope so. And actually, I don't know, follow the rules, which is what you're supposed to do with the conservatives, responsible stewardship. But David, how can listeners get a hold of you guys and find out more about your organization?
Okay, yeah, so we have a website. It's conservativestewards.org. Should be easy to remember. Like I said, we're an organization fully, you know, of conservatives. We have about 5,000 members, and a lot of information about this issue and other issues are on our website.
Very good. David, I'd love to get you back on the show. I really appreciate you joining us and giving us a little bit of the insight on what's happened here, and hopefully it will resolve peacefully from now on. We don't see any more of these issues, but you're right. I see some more and more of these, you know, upset people that just go renegade and do whatever they want to and become bullies, as you mentioned, and kind of doing what they want. So hopefully, knock on wood, we don't see any more of these incidences for a while.
Yeah, let's hope.
Let's hope. That's right. David Jenkins, yeah, from the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, thank you so much for joining the show, sir. I'd love to get you back on at a later time, and have a wonderful day.
Great. Thank you for having me.